You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
DiVincenzo, now they work it back out. Connaughton on the second try will bury it from that same spot on the left wing.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
Allen with a contested three in transition. It didn't matter.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening. Justin Garcia.
Struggles against the mediocre teams continue for the Bucks. That's the story of this game, really. Disaster of a third quarter as well, and a second half for that matter. So we see more of the same. The Bucks just play to the level of their competition, especially recently, and the Bucks continue to struggle in the third quarter, and that dooms them tonight. 121-114, they lose to the Atlanta Hawks. Number to get in touch with us tonight on the show, 855-616-1620. That is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. A couple of numbers to pass along here that speak to some of those struggles we're witnessing from the Bucks, but it's just incredibly difficult to wrap your head around what this season is. Talked about this on the pregame show with Dave Kane. It's not just the Bucks or the Hawks that are dealing with health and safety protocols, and the Bucks certainly not dealing with that at the moment, but not dealing with the ever-changing availability and roster of players. We're seeing this league-wide, that it's not even worth pointing out who is not available, because on any given night, it seems like almost every team is dealing with some type of issue with player availability. For tonight, the disappointing part for the Bucks was this looked like a very strong performance 30 minutes through the game, and then you just started to get that feel that the Bucks were playing with fire. The Hawks would start to slice into the lead, knock the margin down to one possession game. Chris Middleton would continue to answer throughout the game with big shot after big shot, and you felt like maybe this is a little bit like that series last year in the Eastern Conference Finals. Chris Middleton is going to come save the day and hit some big shots. But the longer the Bucks did that and let the Atlanta Hawks linger and hang around in this game, the more it ended up costing them, as the Bucks, there's no better way of putting it than the Bucks stubbed their toe against another middling opponent. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. If you want to join the program tonight, it is Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices. Two wins in their last eight games. The two wins are against the Brooklyn Nets and the Golden State Warriors. So it speaks to what we said at the top. The Bucks are doing more than fine against the elite teams. The Bucks are demolishing the really, really, really bad teams. It's those teams in the middle that are giving the Bucks a lot of problems. Does that mean they're losing interest? They're disinterested with the regular season? They're playing to the level of their competition? Whatever the case may be, that's what we're seeing. When you have those teams on the schedule, that has spelled problems for the Bucks. Maybe that's the silver lining. You got the Memphis Grizzlies, third best record in basketball, coming to town on Wednesday. Chicago Bulls are going through a whole lot right now and struggling. A four-game losing streak, but still leading the conference as of right now. That pens the result in Miami tonight. But still, the Bulls on the schedule, that's another tough matchup on paper. These are the games the Bucks have done fine with. It's games like tonight against the Atlanta Hawks, who enter 12th in the Eastern Conference. The Toronto Raptors, the New York Knicks. Those are the types of teams that we've seen the Bucks just refuse to put away, let hang around, and turn in some brutal quarters that really swing the game. And it wasn't so much the third quarter as much as it was the combination of the second half tonight that really hurt the Bucks, not putting the Atlanta Hawks away when you had the chance. A double-digit lead two games in a row now, and you end up losing. And tonight is the first time the Bucks lose a game when they lead after three quarters. 855-616-1620 is the number. More after this. You are listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. One call, that's all.
get it back. He's actually already at the double-digit lead, trying to add to it. Middleton will do just that. He fades and fires and finds the bottom of the net from the deep corner right from three. That was a big-time shot from Cash Money Middleton, who's got 15 now.
You saw the good and the bad tonight as Chris Middleton really carried the offense in the early going. He had big shot after big shot for most of that first half that, you know, we mentioned at the top of the show. You're starting to get flashbacks to the Eastern Conference Finals where Chris Middleton was just dominating the Atlanta Hawks, especially in those final two games that they played without Giannis. But they just come up short tonight because of their woes in the third quarter. In the second half, overall, is the problem for the Bucks tonight, the difference maker here. Atlanta scored 71 points in the final 24 minutes of this game after scoring just 50 at halftime. 71 points. There was 1 point taken away between the third and fourth quarter, so it went from a 6-point lead to a 5-point lead. And at this point, the Bucks need all the help they can get in the third quarter as they are 21st in the NBA in point differential in the third quarter so far this season. But where it really becomes glaring is when you look at losses specifically. Overall, the Bucks have not been good in the third quarter this season, but when we look at losses, that's where it's amplified even more, as in losses this season, in the third quarter, the Bucks have been outscored by 7.5 points by the opposition, which is worst in the NBA. The only team in their neighborhood is the Los Angeles Lakers. When you look at the advanced numbers, net rating for the Bucks in the third quarter this season, again, this is not just losses. Overall, Bucks are 21st in net rating for the quarter, but defensive rating, 116.9, which is 30th in the NBA, and the teams on that level with the Bucks near them. The bottom five teams in third quarter defensive rating this season: the Houston Rockets, the New Orleans Pelicans, the Atlanta Hawks, Sacramento Kings, and your Milwaukee Bucks. Third quarter just simply has to be cleaned up by this team. And in a loss is even worse, a 125-plus net rating that the Bucks are posting in the third quarters. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talking Text Line. We had some stats to point to and some good things here to say, look, here's some of the positives, but it's drowned out by some of these struggles here, and it's tough to point to the silver lining after nights like this when it's a frustrating weekend for the Bucks to lose to the Toronto Raptors the way you did. And again, this is two straight opponents that were down two pretty big pieces for their team. Saturday against the Raptors, you took a 15-point lead early in the game, but still a 15-point lead. You're playing the Raptors without Gary Trent Jr., without Scottie Barnes, and you end up losing the game at home because of a great game from Pascal Siakam, but more of these miscues and turnovers and just sloppy play. Turnovers were what doomed the Bucks, and it was turnovers from Giannis and Chris Middleton. Tonight, you play the Atlanta Hawks. No Bogdan Bogdanovic, no Clint Capela, although maybe that was a good thing because Onyeka Okongwu, and we saw this in the conference finals, he maybe defends Giannis just as well, if not better, than anybody in the league right now. But Onyeka Okongwu came up with some big plays. He held his own against Giannis. He came up with some big stops and was able to challenge him around the basket countless times throughout this game. And that really changed the way the Bucks were able to attack. You're already working from a deficit with no Jrue Holiday and requiring Giannis and Chris Middleton to have the ball in their hands a lot more, get the offense started. In the case of Giannis, play away from the basket more. But what Onyeka Okongwu was able to do as the game progressed, that also changed the way that Giannis attacked, because you saw Giannis, and I know he did it throughout the game, but you saw Giannis taking more and more jump shots and not playing downhill quite as much. We can point to free throws. We know Coach Mike Budenholzer talked about this over the weekend, somewhat talked about it. Giannis, same thing, where Bud said, look, I know we took a lot, and I know Giannis went 17 for 17. Giannis could have taken 25 or close to 30 free throws. We could have taken 40, 45, or 50 free throws. We felt like we didn't get enough calls. Tonight, you could probably make the same case for the amount of fouls there were in this game, for what you saw at the free throw line, the Atlanta Hawks got there more than 30 times in the game tonight. 30 of 32 at the free throw line. The Bucks got there 24 times. 14 of those came from Giannis, but look at the fouls Atlanta committed in this game. 18 of them, beg your pardon, to 28 for the Bucks. 18 fouls for the Atlanta Hawks defense tonight. There were at least three, if not four, but at least three of those take fouls. So the Atlanta Hawks defense fouled the Bucks 15 times. In other words, is what we're seeing, 15 to 28. Free throws did not tell the entire story of the game. Turnovers told a bigger part of this game. The issues in the third quarter told a bigger part of this game. And Wesley Matthews fouling out, which we have not spent a whole lot of time on, that told just as big, if not a larger part of this game. But all of these things added up, and the Bucks fall in Atlanta to the Hawks tonight in one of the more disappointing losses of this season. I said over the weekend on a different show, Saturday against the Raptors was the most disappointing loss of the season for the Bucks, because it's another one of those teams we talked about. When you look at the standings, the Raptors, as of right now, the eighth best record in the conference. The Atlanta Hawks tonight had the 12th best record, and they're going to remain 12th in the conference. But the Raptors had the eighth best record in the Eastern Conference. The Raptors are basically a 500 team. The Raptors didn't have Gary Trent Jr. They didn't have Scottie Barnes. They basically had one point guard in that game. Now, the Bucks are in the same spot with no Drew Holiday once again. But you're at home. You were rested. It was night two of a back-to-back for the Bucks. That's a game you have to win. Regardless of the struggles we talked about against those mid-tier teams, you have to win that game. And especially when you point out, if you go back and look at that game, watch the game, look at the box score, it was night two of a back-to-back for the Raptors. The Raptors essentially played six players in that game. Yuta Watanabe started the game and played 5 minutes. Justin Champeny came off the bench and played 7 minutes. Everybody else was over 30 minutes for the Raptors in that game. They went six deep, and they were able to beat you on night two of a back-to-back because of those turnovers and because of the more of those issues in the third quarter. Another game the Bucks led at half, and it just took a turn for the worse in the final 24 minutes. Tonight was amplified. You led by double figures again. You continued to let the Atlanta Hawks hang around, and it is just such a dangerous team to do that to, because Trae Young, we have seen him close teams out. You have seen Trae Young hit big shots on big stages. Atlanta has the offense to come back in a hurry. Defense, are they going to get stops? No, but you know what doesn't matter? You don't need to worry about stopping the opponent when you commit the amount of turnovers the Bucks did, and especially late in this game. And the defense, I mean, look, if you're unable to get to the basket, 36 points tonight for the Bucks, 36 in the paint, 34 in the first matchup this season between the Bucks and the Hawks, those numbers have to increase, especially tonight with no Clint Capella. We just talked about how good Onyeka Okongwu was, but you still got to get more than 36 points in the paint. The Bucks were absolutely atrocious on two-point shots Saturday in Toronto. They were atrocious in the final 24 minutes of this game, and especially the final 6 minutes where this game was just put on ice by the Atlanta Hawks. Bucks led this game 191. Wesley Matthews fouled out of this game with about 6 minutes left, and the score was 193. So the Atlanta Hawks, from that point forward, from the moment Wesley Matthews fouled out, outscored the Bucks 28-14. But in all, they scored 30 of the final 44 points in this game. They scored 30 points in 6 minutes against a defense that, even without Drew Holiday, played pretty well and was able to had some really good rotations, especially some of those minutes when he had a George Hill, who we're going to get to, and the importance and the value that George Hill has brought to the team this season. Talked about it a little bit on the pregame show tonight, but George Hill, I think for a lot of fans, has been difficult to gauge, but overall George Hill's been good. Some of those minutes where it was Wesley Matthews, George Hill, Dante DiVincenzo, Giannis, Bucks defense looked really crisp. And one of the things that stood out the most in the first 20 or so minutes of this game, you didn't see a lot of Trae Young doing what Trae Young did to the Bucks a lot last year and did a lot in the first matchup this year. what Trae Young was able to do last year, not just against the Bucks, but against a lot of teams. Penetrate, find the open guy. He's just as dangerous, if not more dangerous, throwing the lob than he is as an offensive scorer. You didn't see a whole lot of that early. And the biggest difference was, look, last year, the Hawks were able to exploit some things against Brook Lopez. Now, you still want Brook Lopez back, and you still need Brook Lopez back for this defense. But this was another look where the Bucks had more of an extended runway here to play a lot smaller. And the first 24 minutes of this game, what stood out is, man, the Bucks just, they got so many ways they can play. Maybe this is the moment where they start to turn the corner and they get a little more consistent here and start to win some of these games against teams in the middle of the standings that you should be beating. But they just have the ability to play defensively so many different ways. That's assuming Brook Lopez comes back. You can play the way we've seen much of the last 3 years. You can play the drop defense. You can play with Giannis at the five. You can play with Giannis and Bobby Portis. You can play with Giannis and a really small lineup because Wesley Matthews has essentially stepped into the P.J. Tucker role. And I'm not trying to say Wesley Matthews is a better player than P.J. Tucker, but if we just look at what the two players have done, Wesley Matthews in these, what, 20 or so games he's played in the regular season for the Bucks this year, P.J. Tucker in his regular season experiment a year ago, Wesley Matthews has been just as good, if not better, because he hasn't been a minus offensive player. Now, it's not to say that won't be the case in the playoffs, but you've been able to replicate a lot of that, and that's allowed you to play differently. And we saw more familiarity as the playoffs went on, and Giannis was really leaned on to be the center last year. So you saw the first half, and you said, man, Wesley Matthews is doing this. Wesley Matthews is able to stay in front of Trae Young on a handful of these occasions. You got three players you're throwing out there on Trae Young, with Wes, with Dante at times, with George Hill for a majority of the action. This is a pretty lethal defense when everyone's in sync like this. And the wheels just fell off once again in the second half of the game. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. So that's the bad. The Bucks play in the third quarter this season. If we look at the losses, it's been the worst in the league. Overall, it's been in the bottom 10. Not ideal. There is some good, but how troublesome should it be that the Bucks are struggling against these teams in the middle of the standings? Is that something worth worrying about? 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. More after this. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Here comes Middleton. He gallops into the paint. Feeds to Giannis, and Giannis rocks the rim again with a vicious two-hand slam.
There were two of Giannis's, what ended up being 27 points in this game. Now, back-to-back games where the rebounding number's down for Giannis. Just six. He did have six assists, but he also had five turnovers. 13 turnovers for the Bucks as a team. The Hawks turned those into 19 points. Eight turnovers from Chris Middleton, who had four assists. So five turnovers, six assists from Giannis. Eight turnovers, four assists from Chris Middleton. 13 turnovers to 10 assists for your two primary ball handlers. That one of the biggest issues in this game, and it's been one of the biggest issues in the last five or so games since Drew Holiday has been out, certainly, but really in the month of January. That's been the issue for the Bucks, who fall again to another mediocre team. The Atlanta Hawks are 12th in the Eastern Conference. There is nothing, no other way to label them than mediocre, and these are the opponents that have given the Bucks struggles this season. Is it concerning the Bucks are losing to these teams, or is it maybe a good thing when you use the juxtaposition that, look, they're playing very well, if not better than anyone in the league, against the elite teams? It's just the teams that, quite frankly, you're not going to see in the playoffs that are giving the Bucks problems. And yes, a lot of that hinges on making sure you secure your seating. So that is most important. But even in the midst of these struggles the Bucks are in, Drew Holiday, when he's back, that changes a lot of it. Bucks are 16-3 this season when Giannis, Chris, and Drew play. Regardless of who they're playing, they beat up on those teams. If it's bad teams, they crush them. If it's good teams, they're still winning the game. That, to me, is the most important thing so far this season. So when Drew Holiday gets back, that's going to change a lot of this. You don't want to keep falling even lower in the standings, though, because now, as we mentioned, you're down to fifth. And it's just 2.5 games that are separating 1 through 6. But Philly's just a half game back of you. And then you're sixth in the Eastern Conference. I still believe we've seen enough to know the Heat, the Bucks, and the Nets are the three best teams in the Eastern Conference. The Bulls, the Cavs, and the Sixers all have staying power, but the Bucks, the Heat, the Nets, whatever order you want to put them in, those are clearly the three best teams in the conference. For whatever reason, the Bucks just can't get out of their own way against mediocre teams. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. How concerning is it the Bucks are losing to these teams in the middle of the pack? Henry in Tulsa, you're up on Bucks talk.
Yeah, hey, how you doing? I'm not super concerned about the Bucks' level of play. I mean, they have definitely shown that they're as good, if not better, than any other team, I think, in the East. It's more just, it seems like their mentals, it's like they just can't play hard against teams they know that they're better than. And if they got nothing to prove, they just can't quite get like the amount of effort up, you know, to beat these teams. And I think they got a target on their back, especially for these middling teams that have a lot to prove, and they want to do it against the world champions. So it's easier for them to get, you know, mentally toughen up and go at the Bucks when the Bucks leading, you know, at the half, they just fold because it's like, what do they have to prove, you know, to these middling teams like the Hornets and that, you know?
Yeah, and thanks for the call, Henry. And look, the other thing is, elephant in the room before tonight's tip was the Atlanta Hawks have lost 10 in a row at home. Now, the Hawks are okay. I know we've continued to label them middling and mediocre. That's what they are. But there's a lot of offensive talent. The Hawks aren't going to go on a 20-game home losing streak or 15-game. They were going to win sooner or later, and I think that's what gave you a lot of pause coming into this matchup is, man, it'd be nice to win in Atlanta, but sooner or later, the Hawks are going to win at home. You got Trae Young. You've got a lot of offensive talent. I mean, teams that go on losing streaks that long, home or road, those are typically really, really bad teams, and I wouldn't put Atlanta in that category. So that was another thing that probably had you nervous of, well, you know, the Hawks are kind of due for a win, and they got it. Now, the last time the Bucks lost to the Hawks in Atlanta, it was one of the last times the Hawks won on the home floor, mid-November, and the last win in Atlanta for the Hawks prior to tonight was November 22nd against the Oklahoma City Thunder. It was about a week earlier they beat the Bucks, and after that loss, that started an 8-game win streak for the Bucks. So you hope, hey, maybe this will do the same thing. Maybe that's the frog the Bucks have to kiss is the Atlanta Hawks on the road, and that's what generates these lengthy win streaks. Because we did hear before the game from Coach Bud, there's a chance Drew Holiday could play on Wednesday. You just get the overall sense they're being overly cautious with him. We continue to hear over and over, we got the big picture in mind, and that's what we're most focused on. It's kind of been the message with Brook Lopez. They're still not closing the door on Brook returning this season. And that's what we've heard the last couple of days here with Drew Holiday. But we did hear he went through some workouts. He did some work back in Milwaukee, didn't make the trip, and still going through some of that the last couple of days. So, yeah, there's a chance he could play. We're happy of where he's at right now in his recovery. But what's in front of the Bucks? We mentioned a 3-game homestand. Memphis Grizzlies, that is a game the Bucks have traditionally been up for and played very well in. Memphis has the third best record in basketball, not just the West. These are games the Bucks have played their best in so far this season. The Chicago Bulls on Friday night. maybe it's time to worry about that matchup because, yes, the Bulls are in first in the East, but Chicago currently on a four-game losing streak, and they're dealing with some injuries. Sacramento Kings close things out, but the games in front of the Bucks here, those are the three games in the immediate future. They're all at home. On the road against the Cavs, then the Knicks come to town. Maybe another potentially worrisome game for where the Knicks are in the standings. Denver Nuggets in the end of January on the 30th, and then the Wizards, another team there, and the Portland Trailblazers. So it does start to get more difficult, but these games we pointed to, the Bulls are in the midst of some struggles. The Warriors also kind of in a funk when they came into Milwaukee. They really haven't been the same since mid-December when Steph Curry broke the NBA's three-point record. The Brooklyn Nets weren't full strength. I mean, granted, they haven't been all season save for one game. But these games we pointed to and said, man, the Bucks' schedule gets more difficult. That's been the crazy part about this season is you just never know because every team is dealing with injuries or COVID protocols at any given time, and there's not one team you can point to and say they really haven't been affected by it. And that's more of what's in front of the Bucks here, even when the schedule gets to be more difficult. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. There is a positive spin for Giannis. We'll get to that in the final segment of the show. But, you know, we mentioned games like Wednesday against the Memphis Grizzlies, maybe that's what the Bucks need because these are the games they play very, very well in against those good teams. 6-12 against teams in the middle 10 in all of basketball, not just, you know, mediocre Eastern Conference teams. Take out the top 10, take out the bottom 10. Teams that are left in the middle, the Bucks have gone 6-12 against. 6-12 in those games. And they're 27-19 on the season. You do the math. 21-13 outside of those games. Look at teams in the top 10. Bucks are 7-4. They have the fourth best net rating in the league in those games. In those 11 games. That's what you point to and say, look, they're winning games against tough opponents. Whether it's a lack of focus, whether it's a lack of interest, whether it's malaise, we're also coincidentally at that point in the schedule where guys just start to lose focus and interest. The All-Star break is on the horizon. You're past the midpoint now. You've hit the doldrums. We've heard a handful of coaches in the last couple of weeks that come through town talking about this exact point of the schedule, and that's where the Bucks are. And now they're 2-6 in their last eight during this stretch of play. So I don't think that's coincidental either. But I'm going to continue to hang my hat on what the Bucks have done against those top 10 teams in basketball this season and not worry so much over games like tonight, over games like Saturday. And that's granted, it starts to slow down and improve here in the coming days. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and text line. Some positive news before we wrap things up. Some good news for Giannis and some positive signs we've seen. Also worth pointing out, spoiler alert, this is about his free throw shooting, but there are two names that are very comparable to what he has quietly done, not just this season, not just the last 30 days or 45 days in this season, but what Giannis has quietly done for the last year plus, dating back to the playoffs, not mentioning some names that are pretty comparable to Giannis at the free throw line. We'll explain after this. It's Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Stick around. Bucks Talk continues next. Presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. You're listening to Bucks Talk. Presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Isolated now on Gallinari. He'll unload. Three-pointer touches all net. A filthy three from Cash Money Middleton.
Chris Middleton so good in the first half of this game, and really all game. Chris Middleton, the season high, 34 points, returning to the scene of the crime where he ripped the heart out of the Atlanta Hawks in the conference finals last year. There was a couple of moments in this one, too, where Chris just continued to come up big. The Hawks would knock that margin down to three. Chris Middleton would counter with a big shot. A big defensive sequence, too, where Chris Middleton on one end hits a big three after the Hawks made the margin six. Then on the other end, it was his defense for a full 24 seconds, poking the ball loose from DeAndre Hunter under the basket, giving the Hawks a reset, and then playing defense on the perimeter against Hunter and forcing a turnover. But it's execution down the stretch that doomed the Bucks in this one again. There's one more point to make on the strength of schedule and the opponents the Bucks have faced here and where they've really played their best, the teams they've played their best against. But we promised some more good as it relates to Giannis before we wrap things up on the show tonight. Scores 27 points, goes 10 of 14 at the free throw line. So between tonight's performance at the line and Saturday against the Raptors at the free throw line, in those two games, Giannis goes 27 of 31 at the free throw line. Pretty good, huh? In the month of January, he's getting to the free throw line 10 times a game, which is a little down from his season average, 10 times a game, and he's shooting 78% at the free throw line. 13 times a game he's getting to the line. He's making 10. He's getting there 13 times. He's shooting 78% on free throws in January. Since December 1st, he's a 75% free throw shooter, getting there about 12 times a game. And the season as a whole, he's close to 72% that he's shooting at the free throw line. Again, this is quietly Giannis has quelled a lot of those concerns at the foul line. And this dates back to the playoffs last year and what he would point to in Game 6 against the Phoenix Suns. But he put together some big free throw shooting performances when this team needed it most. Now, we say he's quietly at those figures because Joel Embiid has always been a very good free throw shooter throughout his career. It's Embiid and Giannis that are up there right now amongst the leaders with most attempts a game. Joel Embiid is basically always been an 80-plus percent free throw shooter. But who are the guys that Giannis is comparable to? When you look at big men, forward centers, there's two names that have really drawn a lot of comparisons to Giannis. And one especially for the last few years, we've seen a lot of Giannis comps and a lot of would you rather have this player or Giannis. Nobody is mentioning Giannis has quietly turned himself into just as effective a free throw shooter as two of those names that you keep saying, man, if only Giannis could do this like this guy does. Bam Adebayo is a 76% free throw shooter. And I know Bam Adebayo's missed a lot of time this season with an injury. He's basically been 75% this year. He's been around 76, 77% through his career. Giannis is close to 80% in this month. Basically 75% the last month and a half. And he's over 72% in the season. Giannis is pretty close to what Bam Adebayo has become as a free throw shooter. The biggest one to me is Anthony Davis. And when are we going to point out how laughable the questions and the would you rather have Anthony? You can start a team. Are you taking Anthony Davis or Giannis? Giannis and Anthony Davis at the free throw line are the same player, and they have been for a year now. That's what Giannis has raised his game to, where he's figured it out offensively. You saw a lot of those pull-up shots tonight. I think of the first seven of the first nine attempts he took tonight were mid-range twos or three-pointers. And he made a majority of them. Is he taking a little too many at times? Sure. But tonight, again, as we mentioned tonight, we mentioned it against the Raptors, it's really tough to fully gauge the offense when Jrue Holiday isn't there because you're asking Giannis to bring the ball up the floor. And tonight, basically, picture perfect what we talked about on Saturday night. When Giannis is doing that, the Heat and the Raptors are two terrible matchups for the Bucks. They have the personnel to build a wall and slow him down and put athletic bodies in front of him. Hawks don't have those. Onyeka Okongwu is great. But that's it. I mean, DeAndre Hunter is not going to slow down Giannis. Kevin Huerter isn't going to slow him down. Hawks don't have the personnel. Basically, no other team other than Miami and Toronto have that personnel in this league. So that wasn't so much the issue of, he's forcing things. They're building a wall. It just slows everything down, and you just want him playing downhill and playing that two-man game with Chris or Drew, catching the lobs, and you can't do that as much when you got the ball in your hands. But overall, Giannis's free throw shooting, it continues to rise. I know it's a relatively small sample size, but a month and a half that he's shooting 75%. A year ago, I'd take 70%. I'd take 75%. Well, we're there, and there's no reason to believe that won't continue to move upward. Final few minutes here on the program before we wrap things up. It's encouraging what the Bucks are doing against good opponents, and that's why I am very confident Bucks are going to win on Wednesday. I would almost guarantee they're going to beat the Memphis Grizzlies at home. Memphis has been terrific, 16 games above 500. These are the games the Bucks win. Bucks are 7-4 in those games against top 10 teams, according to Cleaning the Glass. Top 10 teams in net rating. Best teams in the league. The Bucks are 7-4 in those games. The Phoenix Suns, who have been maybe the best team in basketball this season, they are also 7-4 in those games. The Memphis Grizzlies have been pretty good as well at 10-5. These are the encouraging things you point to. I think the best teams against the best teams this year have been the Bucks, the Suns, the Grizzlies, and the Miami Heat. Golden State Warriors, too. But those have been the five best teams when playing against the best teams in basketball. It is worth pointing out, down there in the bottom 10, and some of the worst we have seen, the Brooklyn Nets, 21st best net rating against those good teams, and the Chicago Bulls are 26th. Those are two teams that have struggled when playing good opponents this season. So a disappointing loss. What makes it even more disappointing is what we said. The Bulls lost. The Nets lost. The Heat were losing. However, bad news there, as the Miami Heat are up with less than a minute remaining. So Miami is poised to be tied with the Bulls for the best record in basketball. What's most frustrating, not so much losing to these middling opponents, but it seems to be occurring on nights where the teams in front of you in the standings, Sixers lost as well. All of these teams are losing. So tonight, the Cavs and the Heat win the night as they both win when the Bulls, Nets, Bucks, and Sixers all lose. My thanks to everybody for tuning in, hanging out for the last hour. My thanks to Max and DJ for producing the show as well. It is a big one. Wednesday night at Fiserv Forum, the Bucks play host to an exciting Memphis Grizzlies team coached by former Bud assistant Taylor Jenkins. You've been listening to Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.